You're listening to Wake Up Our Faith, the weekly broadcast from Uprint Faith and Personal Development. Connect with us on the web at uprint.life. Hello and welcome back to the second segment of our show, Wake Up Our Faith. This is Faith in Business, where we talk about how to live out your faith, where you spend the majority of your time, and for most of us, that is in business. Matt Hamm, Kevin Adams, the co-founders of Uprint. If you are new to the show or just joining us, welcome. Appreciate you being here. Love to hear from you. Let us know where you're listening from. Show is rebroadcast on our podcast, which is on iTunes as well as Spotify. I encourage you guys to check that out. Appreciate those of you who have. Our corporate partners make the show possible, one of those being the Rising Tide team. This is a full-service real estate team representing both buyers and sellers here in southeastern North Carolina. If you have any real estate needs, give them a call, 910-620-7177. Also, Melissa Thomas. This is Melissa, the coach. Melissa is a speaker and personal finance coach who really just helps people get better organized, more streamlined in their daily processes, and helps them pursue their dreams and their goals. And she certainly lived it out first. You can connect with her, melissathecoach.com, or email her, melissathecoach@gmail.com. So, Kev, the first segment today, we talked about the concept of loss versus letting go, and really got into the depth of the conversation. For me, was more about logic and living by logic versus living by faith in the Spirit of God. And you know, applying that to business then is a big jump for a lot of folks, I think, because business seems to want to fit automatically in the logical box. And so, how do we begin to take this framework into that environment where logic seems to dictate?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we live in a culture where business is about money. And in some aspects, you can look at it that way, but that's sort of everyone's bottom line is, are we making money or not? But that's not the true definition of a business. it does matter because that's our bartering tool. But, you know, we have a traditional business and we also have a nonprofit. So we're not even aiming to make profit. So, you know, when you start getting all into this, so how do you define a business? And it's a closed loop system where everybody wins. It's when you walk into the grocery store, you expect, if you want to get some roast beef or whatever you want, you're going to go in there and you're going to get to select it. And there you're going to go through the checkout and you're going to pay them. And they win, their business grows, you get food, which you need, and it's closed loop. It's done. That's a business. So it isn't about why you're doing it or all these other things. It's how do we define it? So we're talking about a concept, not a certain industry.
Sure.
And that concept starts in heaven and filters right through sonship.
Well, I think so many folks, because business has been one of those places that the enemy has kind of had a field day with getting people off track.
Right.
You could say the same thing about marriage. You know what I mean? If marriages have failed, then marriage is not of God. And so must be evil.
It's a great point.
It's there. It's inherent to how he created us, why he created us, and what he created us for. Yeah. And just because the world has failed at it or manipulated it or abused it doesn't negate its necessity and goodness in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's right. It's not. I think sometimes the intellectual thing was what we were talking about earlier. You know, logic, but the human intellect wants to box everything in and treat it this way, so that we can act a certain way at certain times. And that's not the nature of God. God is who He is always. So we want to be in that same, we want to come from heaven into the earth. I mean, 1 John talks about he's in us and we're in him. And again, as he is in the world, so are we. What does that mean? It means that he works through who we are. We're not him, but we are his kids. So he works through us. So that even that becomes from heaven into the earth, pointing people back. It's a closed loop system. That's a business. So when you take it all the way down to the day to day, well, I rent paddle boats for a living. I don't, but yeah. If you did, why are you doing that? So you get to the why, and that's where you start having a healthy impetus or a reason. There's a reason. If you're just trying to, make some money, that's fine if you need to get through a moment or dig in.
Yeah, that's not the mode of your life.
Yeah, you don't want to spend your life trying to find security. I mean, think about that. That's saying God won't do it. God's saying, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I want you to keep stepping in. I want you to keep focused on me. And then he opens up the other things. Moses could have become a leader in Egypt. Well, that's a good job, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? And eat good food and just kind of telling people what to do.
In the palace, man.
But he chose the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because it's a why. So back to business, when you understand why you're doing something, then those things start to go away. God will take care of the rest of it. That's a big practical view.
Well, it's funny. We have a friend, and out of respect, if you want to mention the name, but a few months ago, they lost their job. And so they were going through a difficult time, and their prayer was, I just need a job. Yeah. And I think both of us were talking to them and gave them the advice, and no, God has put something in you that is better than any job you can have.
Right.
Press into that.
Yeah.
But they were afraid because of the money situation and ended up just getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them last week, and they're like, yeah, I got my prayer answered, but y'all were right, kind of thing about there's something more than this. And I was like, good, mm-hmm. good. They had to go down that path to see that there was more.
Yeah.
But again, trying to fulfill that short-term desire of money, it often, or that short-term need of money, it often keeps people from fulfilling the desire of their heart of what God put out there for them.
Yeah. Well, when people polarize it and turn it into some argument that it's not, it's not reckless. It's simply good stewardship. But you're being a good stewardship of what God's saying. You're believing Him more than you're believing what you see.
Mm.
And you have to apply that. I mean, look, God says it's impossible to please Him without faith. Well, that's a blanket statement. You don't get to not do that in business. So He owns business. But we've got to remember that it's a concept. It doesn't mean everybody needs to go out and start a business. It means that everybody is connected through the concept of business. Yeah, we can call out the evils of huge corporations and there's a movie coming out about DuPont that's going to be interesting to see.
Mm.
But you can look back and see, there's a lot of corruption. That doesn't mean the concept of business is bad or that it's not from God. There would be no, I texted you the other day, Christianity would be stuck in Bethlehem if it were not for business. Think about this. Now, I mean, again, this is God's way, all right? People don't like this necessarily, but the printing press, the Bibles, all of this, medicine, schools, banking, all of this came from us understanding that God is showing us how to move forward. So there wouldn't be the gospel around the world if it weren't for business. And you can't argue that.
Yeah.
So to act like they need to be separated is the first... So what is the right thing to do? I'm going to sit in a chair and open my mouth and wait for it to rain. That's not Christianity. God gave you gifts, but more importantly, He gave you an anointing. So when you carry that out, it is a form of business because you're glorifying Him. He's working through you because now you're part of His eternal family, and people's lives will change, and God will conspire around that. It's saying the Red Sea's up there. I don't know how or how long, but I know God will.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that all through Scripture. That is business. So it's got to be a concept first and lived out, but based on the anointing, which is why. But anyway, I'm getting all off track here.
I think initially about the people in when Christianity spread to Europe. And, you know, the United States of America was founded essentially by folks who came over from Europe.
Sure.
There had to be a person who was curious and crazy enough to start going to dream, to go, I wonder if I could take this boat and build a boat and I could go across this ocean.
Right.
Had it been for logic, they never would have done that.
Yeah.
What logical person would have sailed across the ocean in a tiny ship?
Yeah.
And so by its nature, logic... Every breakthrough in scripture, as we say, but also every breakthrough in history is at the behest of logic. At some point in time, people go, I'm going to build a car because we don't need horses.
Well, because logic says, don't get on the boat, go back to what you know.
Yes.
And innovation and excellence and dreaming, this is from God.
Yes.
And we have to, now, I'm not saying people haven't corrupted it or taken it off in left field. They have. That doesn't change our responsibility. Just like we still have, when someone dies and you prayed for them, you don't go to the next person and say, well, I'm not praying anymore. You still have, our job is faith, not to figure out how to heal the person. So when you go back into business, you have to come from that place where, like Mel Gibson saying, you know, I can go broke making the passion. And he nearly did. He didn't do it for money. He did it despite the cost, because he knew that this was something he needed to give birth to while he was on this earth, and he did it. And all the other foibles and issues and behavior problems doesn't matter, because he did it. He honored God in that, and that changed lives. People came to the Lord because of that.
Yeah,
that's why we want to plug that into business and understand that this is from God.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, and you could be catching butterflies and making art out of it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Paul made tents. You can say, well, he wasn't trying to start a business. Well, okay, then why didn't he just sit there and wait for God to rain and so he could drink? Paul knew he did it for a reason. He was taking pressure off of. He didn't want anyone to have anything over him or what he had to say. And so he made tents and he sold them. Well, he still bought raw materials to buy more tents. You know, we don't know all the depths of it, but there's a point here. Jesus didn't train as a carpenter because he liked the feel of wood only. He did it because there's business going on. Build tables or whatever. I don't know. It didn't tell us. But there's a reason there. There's a reason that Peter was a fisherman and he still fished. We see that he didn't quit doing that. Now, we don't know the whole story, but we know that after Jesus... You know,
he said, I'm going fishing.
Yeah. So, look, this is business. So, whether you're working for a company or you're creating one or you have a small in-home business, it doesn't matter. Think of the concept. It's closed loop. It's closed loop. And when you do that based on your why, or even if you step into it, God will, he will part the waters for you. Because, like we said in our last segment, in our other half of the show, is it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done. So it's already blessed. So you don't have to figure out how and how long. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay your bills or you don't have to turn the lights on to get them to come on. These are like things that are simple.
Yeah.
You have to get the deep thing first and follow that. You know, the great innovators in history failed a lot because they had to kind of understand, learn, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And we can name them Lincoln, Edison. There's tons of them.
So I want to, you know, we've got one more segment here and we've got a break coming up in about a minute. I want to talk about excellence and innovation and kind of empower our listeners and viewers to really start that process of pressing into excellence and innovation and dreaming in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see so many people that are afraid to do that. There's this weird spirit of hesitancy,
right.
And it's like, oh, well, I can't, or I don't want to, or, you know what I mean? I got to go pay the bills. And like you said, the Beatles were not waiting on a financial windfall before they, you know, wrote Can't Buy Me Love. I mean, they went out and they just made music.
They played for Cokes.
Yeah.
And because they had to give birth to something. So we'll come back and talk about
The excellence and innovation. Guys, this is Matt Hamm and Kevin Adams. I want you guys to check us out online if you haven't. Go to our website, uprint.life, uprint.life. We've got a lot of ways you can get plugged in, one-to-one mentoring, executive coaching, biblical counseling, faith development teaching. It's a lot of cool stuff there. Would love to engage with you guys on that level. But again, don't go anywhere. One more segment right after this. Hey, everybody. This is Matt Hamm. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast, Faith in Business. If you're enjoying the show, we'd ask that you go on iTunes and leave a quick review so that other folks can see it and join us as well. Also, we host a monthly gathering called Faith in Business right here in Wilmington, North Carolina. If you're interested in attending that event, or if you'd like to host a Faith in Business event in your city, email us at info@uprint.life. Hello, welcome back to Faith in Business. This is the second segment of our weekly show where we talk about how to live out your faith, where you spend the majority of your time. Matt Hamm, Kevin Adams, co-founders of Uprint, thanks for joining us. Our corporate partners make the show possible. I want to recognize and thank them. One of those being Dr. Greg Veman of Seacoast Skin Surgery, as well as his ministry, Everlasting Strength. You can find him on the web, everlastingstrength.org. 910-256-2100 is his phone number. Chris Riley, our good brother at Fountain Financial Associates, they are in the business of long-term financial planning. They like to call it keeping promises and helping folks and families find a better life. Do reach out to them. Give them a call, 910-256-8882. And finally, last but not least, the Physical Therapy Services of Wilmington. This is ptservicesofwilmington.com, and that's on the web, of course. Family-owned and operated since 1983. Give them a call, 910-763-8286. So, Kev, diving into business in the first segment, talking about why it's important, how God gave it to us. It's a closed-loop system. It's how we get to express Him in the world. We brought up the concept of excellence and innovation. And I think that that is of heaven, and that is what is missing out of so many people's lives and businesses that we talk to. And that is the game changer that folks can really tap into, excellence and innovation, that so many are missing out on.
Yeah, so when you don't have a why, then you don't work from passion, you don't work for hunger, you don't understand why you're here, you just work for security. I mean, these are two sort of things, tracks that people run on. So when you just work for security, when you find it, you will fall asleep in the comfort of it. So that's the track. There's no you know, offshoot. There's no good answer there. So you have to work from a place that takes courage, that takes innovative thought. Why? Because innovation comes from God. That's why things develop and grow. And again, you know, we're talking about Christianity would have been stuck in Bethlehem if it weren't for business. God did it. We're not taking credit away from him. We're saying he's in all of it, like the tree that doesn't need a sticker that says made by God. He's in this. He's doing it. So he developed everything through this type of people that were courageous enough to step into that instead of saying, well, I'm going to wait until. That doesn't mean you don't have to get some things lined up and use some stewardship, but you don't want to spend your whole life waiting to do the thing God's put in your heart. And, you know, when we start to gently, gradually follow that, then we're walking by the Spirit, we're walking by faith, and what we see is, oh my gosh, this is working. So you go gently, but go big hunger and excitement, be joyful. And what happens is you will do it to the point to you are excellent, because you want the world to see how amazing this is and ultimately how excellent he is. And he's perfect. But that is the ultimate end of excellence, is perfection. And so innovation is a pathway to that.
You know, I was thinking about this innovation as I was talking about PT Services of Wilmington, Russ. One of the really cool innovative things that Russ has done with his physical therapy business, which his parents started it and it's been around for 35 years, but Russ saw an opportunity and had that innovative spirit where he started going into businesses a couple of days a week, and he went to him and said, hey, can I help your employees with their physical therapy needs? And man, it's killing it. I mean, it's doing awesome. Like, he went to them, and so there's that convenience factor, but it's recognition, but it's innovative. Nobody's doing it, and now he's got the market cornered on that. And man, that's just such a great example
of kingdom thinking.
Yeah, he tapped into that thing and went. And you know, it's like sometimes when I'm speaking, I'm like, the world doesn't need another realtor. It needs an innovative, an excellent realtor.
That's right.
So when folks are watching this or business people, how would you say, or what's the process by which we begin to invite innovation and excellence into what we do between Sundays?
Well, remember, the task of growing isn't on the tree. The tree will just grow because God is the one that does that. He does the work. So we have to plant and water. We have to nurture. We bring what we have. But it's kind of like we'll either grow into what God made us to be, or we'll grow away from it.
Mm.
And that's your only choice. So when you step in and you start to meditate on this thing that he's given you, or these things, or you let yourself go there and you start to navigate by the stars again instead of the technology, and then you're going forward, just go gentle. Just get a first down. Just spend a little time on it. If you're an artist, do some art. Just step in just a little bit, and what you'll see is, oh my gosh, I see people showing up here that it's blessing, or I see this working. And so, you know, when we start operating in that gently, not like throwing it all out there, like I'm going to quit and do this,
yeah,
but gently, then God will meet us there. And it's almost like the prodigal come home. Now you know you're a son. You know he's got it covered. Why wouldn't he be in that if it's already done? It's already blessed. But people don't see God that way. They don't see him as a father. They just see it as Jesus died for my sins. Now what?
Hmm.
And they're leaving out the whole picture that Jesus was trying to show us. So, but in the business environment, excellence and innovation are you know, they're kind of like points on a line. These things just happen. You don't have to take it on as some big labor. You know, the Beatles, we use them as an example, or you can name a bunch of different people through history. They're just great. Why are they great? Because God put that in them, and they had the courage to follow that.
Mm.
And it just happens.
Yeah.
We can't explain. I saw Paul McCartney interviewed one time, maybe a year or two ago, at his old elementary school. And they were asking him, how did you write so many songs in so short a time? And he said, I don't know. That's what he said. He said, honestly, I can't tell you. And, you know, it may have been a little more sophisticated of an answer, but the bottom line was, God did it.
Yeah.
It's courage.
Yeah.
It's faith. It's paying attention to that rather than what you see.
Yeah. What about the person, Kevin, who... maybe they're pressing into the thing they feel like that God has called them to do, right? They've, you know, this is what they believe with everything in them of what their heart's desire is,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be happening, you know. It seems that it's just beyond their reach, or, you know, the not yet kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do you begin to walk with folks that? Because it's either one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet. It's a patience issue.
Right.
Or you might have heard wrong from the Lord that this is something you love to do,
right,
but it might not be necessarily the anointing piece that he's called you to do.
Yeah. Well, I think the patience is a huge thing. And even patience, people don't see it the way God sees it. Patience is like going to the room and laying in the hammock. He's giving you the day off. It's rest. It's Mary over Martha. Patience is a good thing, but we automatically see it as a bad thing. So we got to unlearn a bunch of stuff. We got to get out of our head and start following the Spirit, attaching the heart to that, and it'll happen. I know it sounds real simple.
As Julie and Aaron Taylor said, it's simple, but it ain't easy. They just
exactly.
Comment.
That's right. Yeah, it's not easy. It's just like the labor to enter his rest.
Yes.
Well, the labor isn't how hard we can fight and all the tough stuff. The labor is, I got to let go of me, my will, my drive, determination, all the things that I think about me are God, where he's like, I gave you that for other stuff. Now focus on me. Have the courage. You don't have to fly off the handle. And see, I've been doing it both ways for years and years until I get this finally. But anyway, to the question and the point is follow that thing in you and just take baby steps and let go. Remember, we talk about letting go versus loss. If you are focused on your deficit, on what's bad, what God isn't doing, then yeah, you're going to get that. You're going to end up with that. You know, sowing and reaping is a thing. But if you're focused, God says, count it all joy, and that's a zero-sum game, then we've got to get the mode of joy. And when you come from that place, you start seeing this thing clearly, and it happens. And that way, the enemy, no matter what kitchen sink or whatever he throws at you, it doesn't have power over you anymore. It still hurts.
Yeah.
That's the not easy part.
Yeah.
But you don't let it into your heart. You don't let it, it doesn't have any authority in your life.
Yeah.
You know, authority and power are different things.
You know, immediately, for some reason, I'm thinking about Garth Brooks, right? The guy who lived in his car and pursued that dream of being a musician, yeah. And now he's Entertainer of the Year five times over or whatever.
Sure.
However, I think about all the other people who had the same story and they lived in their car, but they didn't, you know? And so is that a patience issue for those folks, or is it a misunderstanding of the anointing? And again, I'm specifically...
Well, Garth Brooks didn't... His focus wasn't to be the Elvis of country music.
To be Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks had music in him, and his genius just came out because he had the courage to do that.
Mm.
The rest happens. That also means, what is your definition of success? If you're measuring it by how many people are praising you,
yes.
You're way off base.
Yes.
You have to do the thing that God's put in you.
That's the key.
And if you are behind the shed catching caterpillars and exploring the depths of caterpillars, look, Mother Teresa would have never been known if somebody didn't come along and point to her. We'd have never known. What an amazing human being. So that's success, but she lived a life stripped of wealth by choice. So success is way off base. Pleasing God, if you have pleased Him, then you have great success.
Yep.
And He will change the world through that. C.S. Lewis didn't have a bunch of money. He'd be wealthy now, but he did what God gave him to do.
Yeah.
That's success.
Yeah, and that's the qualifier.
And that's what'll matter in 1,000 years.
That's the thing. And that's the difference, because we live in a culture who automatically wants to define the metrics.
Right.
And it's comparative culture. Yeah. You know what I mean? And in fact, I wrote in my journal this morning as I was kind of just sitting with the Lord, it was comparison is a fool's game. And it just absolutely is.
That fear of opinions of others. We compare ourselves, and then we measure it by it, and we go, oh, I suck.
Yeah.
There's only one you.
Yeah.
Ever. There's a lot of people with our names, but there's only one us ever, 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 and that's why we have to keep preaching this. There is a vacancy in history with your name on it. God did that. He didn't sling us out here and say, you figure it out now.
Hmm.
He's saying, here's how it goes. His word teaches us this, but you have to be able to step in gently. He will do the heavy lifting.
I just have a really funny thought. I can't stop smiling.
I hear it, man.
If somebody comes up to me ever and says, hey, my name's Matt Hamm, it's going to freak me out. Have you ever met a Kevin Adams face to face?
No.
That would be weird.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't think. I've heard of people in my community
yeah.
with the same name.
Yeah, it would weird me out. Sorry, my brain just went off the course there. But this topic and idea of there is only you and one vacancy in history,
yeah.
and success cannot be measured by the world's standards. It's based on pleasing the Father.
That's it.
That is the core of all of this. And that's what we have to be diligent with and go after.
If people don't think God's that good, then they can't believe He paid everything for them. You are priceless because He paid the highest price. Now there's nothing left to pay. It's done. Your sins are paid for. It's not a license to sin. It removes the want to do that.
Yeah.
You're free. Now go.
Yeah.
And He will carry you into this. In business is just the place that all this crazy, cool stuff manifests itself. And it works. It works. It blesses the world. If business didn't exist and there wasn't innovation and excellence and all these things, if we just had a lost mentality, your business will fail.
Yeah.
And I've had both.
Yeah.
And going by what He's doing is already blessed. Yes, you have to be patient, but do the thing that is on your heart and do it to love other people and to glorify Him, and you will have success.
Yeah.
And He may edit and modify it along the way. Go with it. It'll be okay.
Yeah, that will always be victorious.
Yeah.
Well, guys, what a great way to end today's show, remembering that there's only one you, and there's a vacancy in history with your name on it. We're here to help foster that any way we can, whether it's the Portable Faith Community for daily encouragement or our one-to-one mentoring services. We'd love for you to get plugged in at uprint.life. That's uprint.life. We'll be back with you next Wednesday for another episode of Wake Up Our Faith. Kev, many thanks, my brother.
Yeah.
And you got anything else you want to close out with?
No, I think just to say that we've got a lot of new good things just around the corner, starting
yes.
a new year. Our Portable Faith community is going to be more customizable for the content you get, and we're going to start to look at some groups and just a lot more stuff coming. So stay tuned, and thank you for your support and just everybody's encouragement. So
yeah,
just appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's all good and growing. So thank you guys so much. Y'all have a fantastic day. Mm-hmm.